Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It's January 19th, 5:29 a.m. Central Time. Brian Split is here. Mackenzie is here. Grain markets are a little bit higher. Guys, we had a little bit of a reversal to the upside in some of these markets yesterday.
Corn, soybean, and HRW wheat futures posted fresh lows yesterday prior to closing higher. The March 24 HRW wheat and March 24 corn contracts posted fresh life of contract lows early in yesterday's session, while the March 24 soybean contract posted its lowest trade since June of last year. All three contracts were able to finish the day higher. While these were not key reversals to the upside, the action is considered to be positive.
Looking at this corn chart, Brian, the haters will say that we posted lower lows and lower highs than the previous day. But this is better than the alternative. This is better than posting fresh lows and staying there, right?
It is. And we talked in the technical video for the premium subscribers about this level that was just below 440. And one of the things that the market has been doing recently is you think about, hey, today the funds are selling beans and they're buying corn and wheat. Or today they are buying beans and they're selling the other two. Yesterday they all made new lows and then they all reversed to finish higher with those kind of hammer candlesticks. So I think that was pretty constructive what we did. And I really liked where the levels that we did it from.
The fact that it happened pretty much across the complex is good. Like if it was just a corn thing and soybeans finished at new lows, that wouldn't be as encouraging. So one day doesn't make a trend, but I mean, it's better. It's good news. Good news on Friday morning, I guess. I don't know.
Brazilian crop estimates continue to decline. AgroConsult launched its Brazilian soybean crop tour this week. Ahead of the tour, the agribusiness firm estimated the crop at 153.8 million tons, down from its December estimate of 158.8 million tons. The reduction is due to hot and dry weather in states such as Mato Grosso and excessive rainfall in southern Brazil. Brazilian farmers were forced to replant soybean acres due to this extreme weather. AgroConsult reported that an estimated 7.2 million acres were replanted, accounting for 6.4% of Brazil's total soybean acres.
Do you think people get mad about trespassing on the AgroConsult tour, Brian?
I don't know. Maybe when the crop it doesn't look good, you want them on your ground so they can try to prove it. But I'm more interested not in the number that they release prior to the tour. I'm more interested in what the number they have when they're done with the tour.
So the to go back to, like, if I go back and pull up that March soybean chart, the Brazil weather rally happened in November. That was the peak of the Brazil weather rally. And since then, I think we've been trading like improved conditions, and we've also been trading maybe even more so the China demand story. When you look at Brazil moving forward, the forecast is really good. Like, your next 10 days is wet. The 15-day GFS extended version is really wet. So the forecast as we move forward here is pretty favorable. I'll tell you where they may run into a problem. There's been some discussion about this, is in Argentina. Argentina started off good, but now we're looking at 10 days of dry weather and maybe more than that in Argentina. General idea that I've seen from the weather guys out there is that, you know, this dry stretch here, 7 to 10 days, it's not going to kill the crops by any means, but they're going to need to see a return to moisture in February. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, I have a question for you, Joe, back to Brazil.
Yes.
Is wet and really wet a good forecast as we're going into harvest?
That's a good question. I know a lot of people have talked about the prospect that, like, there could be too much rain and beans don't like wet feet. I don't know. I'm no agronomist, and it's different there than it is in the United States. The makeup of the soil and the climate and everything, it's a different situation. So I'm not the right person to ask. I know Matt's mentioned that a few times.
Yeah, you know, we had Eric Snodgrass on one of our webinars like a week and a half ago, and he had mentioned that the rain for some of the later planted stuff likely to help it, but the early planted stuff probably too late for a lot of that. And then as it gets into harvest, if it's too wet, and maybe I'm just trying to get excited here, but there was a year, it was 2016, and it was actually in Argentina, not Brazil, but they had a really great crop on deck, and then it just started raining and kept raining and kept raining, and we had a multi-dollar rally in soybeans because the beans were just sitting in water there in the harvest. They couldn't get the crop out of the ground, and then we started seeing further estimates of crop losses there. And I think it came to the tune of where they were pricing in like 8 to 10 million tons of losses because of that in Argentina. Only ended up being about half of that, but it sure gave us a heck of a rally.
Hey, I don't mind you getting us excited. We need something to get excited.
Something. I don't know.
We need something. This sucks. Okay, what's up next?
According to Ukraine's ambassador to Turkey, negotiations for the Black Sea grain deal are taking place. The discussions are focused on determining a structure for potential international partners to provide support for Ukraine. The Black Sea grain deal expired in July of last year when Russia decided to end its participation. Not long after, Ukraine launched an alternative shipping corridor along its western Black Sea coast. The corridor has been used to export 16.5 million tons of cargo, most of it being food.
Okay, so this story was yesterday morning, and early this morning at 4:20 a.m. across the wires, Kremlin says there is no prospect of reviving the Black Sea grain deal. Ukraine has been pretty aggressive about selling wheat at lower prices, and Russia has been as well. So the wheat story, I think as it relates to all of this, is still kind of negative. Like they were kind of bragging about how they were shipping more wheat and corn also about out of Ukraine. And I think they're still going to do it either way.
If you look at, I mean, they're not running at the pace that they were pre-war levels, but no. They have been rather effective at getting grain out of the country. I don't know how much this even matters anymore, to be honest with you.
It doesn't. I mean, a year, 2 years ago or whatever, I mean, it was, we were going to have famine, right? And wheat was $13, and now we're just, everything's back to normal. I agree.
Do you remember the pictures on like The Economist of like the wheat plant with skulls on it and like how?
Yeah. Well, of course that was the top. Of course, yeah, that was the top in the market.
Right at the top. Absolutely.
That's how the world works.
Panama authorities have announced that ship crossings through the Panama Canal are being cut by 36%. Ship crossings will now be limited to 24 until the end of April, when the rainy season is expected to begin. The reduction is expected to cost Panama between $500 million and $700 million this year. Canal authorities have stated that new water sources are needed for the canal's operations and human consumption. More than half of Panama's population relies on the same lakes that filled the canal.
I feel like our export program would be much, much, much better if this were not a problem. This is a big problem. We don't talk about it every day because it doesn't really change a whole lot, but this is a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, when we were talking about domestic river levels here and the impact that had, and that's just for the U.S., right? So the Panama Canal is a very important waterway for the whole world. And so this is a problem, and it needs to hopefully get fixed here. But I agree, our exports would be much better if that was not a storyline.
Yeah, like the one market that the U.S. has been slightly competitive in would be like the PNW market, but you have limited capacity there, whereas the Gulf is really year in and year out kind of our bread and butter when it comes to exports and shipments, and it's just, it's not working the way that it should.
U.S. ethanol production declined last week. Weekly output of 1.5 million barrels was down marginally on the week, but up 12% versus the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were pegged at 25.7 million barrels. The print was up 5.4% compared to the previous week and 8% compared to the same week last year. Implied gasoline demand was down marginally compared to the previous week, but up 9.4% versus the same week last year. On average, over the last 4 weeks, implied U.S. gasoline demand is up 1.8% versus the same period last year.
The biggest thing out of these numbers was the big build in ethanol stocks, which may have had something to do with weather and logistics and some of the nasty stuff that we saw over the last week. Here's the deal with ethanol. So USDA increased its projection for corn demand via ethanol last week, but they're still not where they probably need to be. I think they're projecting an increase of 3.7% in terms of corn demand for ethanol. And we're running like closer to 6% ahead of last year in terms of production. So that could be ultimately another 100 million bushels of corn demand on the balance sheet that USDA is missing as of right now. That's assuming that this pace continues, but I think this is still a good thing overall.
It is. Ethanol has been one of the bright spots on the demand side of things. And I think you're right. You know, we were looking at a pre-USDA report that the pace they were running at was maybe 100 million bushels above USDA estimates, and they took a chunk off, but it's still something they need to adjust further and likely to see the carryout come down. I think with the yield number, that isn't going to get any bigger right now, so now it's all about demand.
Ethanol should be really good. I mean, we had a record national corn yield on big acres, record crop, export program that leaves something to be desired. It's going to go somewhere, and the ethanol plants are going to chew through this stuff.
USDA released weekly drought monitor data yesterday. Parts of the Corn Belt received precipitation that was more than 200% of the weekly average last week. The moisture led to notable drought improvement across much of the area, including southeast Iowa, southeast Missouri, southern Illinois, the majority of Indiana, western Ohio, and the majority of Kentucky. The high plains were plagued with winter storms and frigid temperatures over the last week, which resulted in little to no change in drought conditions. So when we look at the percentage of U.S. areas experiencing drought, corn country 34%, soybeans 37%, winter wheat 27%, spring wheat 28%, and cattle country 26%.
Well, drought's not over, but that's a step in the right direction.
These numbers were all in the 50% plus category months and months ago, so this is a pretty good improvement.
Update on the Mississippi River. This has changed quickly. We haven't talked about it much, but we're like 15 feet above normal at Memphis now, whereas we were running, you know, at the lows, 10, 12 feet below normal. So the river levels have recovered and are above normal. It's just, I think if there's a restriction, it's back to the Panama Canal thing, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, so what was this back in August, September, that we were really focused on the river issues here domestically? Yeah. Here we are 4 months later, 5 months later. And so hopefully over the next couple of months, we can see that Panama Canal improve in the same fashion. I just think that would be a big improvement to our overall export program.
We need it bad. Big day in the cattle market yesterday.
Yeah, cattle futures had a strong day yesterday. Feeder cattle futures closed an average of $2.21 higher. Live cattle futures closed an average of $1.41 higher. We do have a cattle on feed report coming out here today. It is expected to be friendly with solid marketings and lower placements. On feed numbers as of January 1st are projected to come in at 102.2% of a year ago. Placements during December are estimated at 95.8% compared to last year. Marketings during December are projected at 99.3% versus last year. That report will be released here this afternoon at 2 o'clock Central Time.
Brian, I don't have a cattle chart, but what do the technicals look like on cattle, especially after yesterday?
Right. So both the feeder cattle and the live cattle were in kind of these upward trending channels, and they were pretty tight. The feeder cattle broke out of that upper end of the channel first. Live cattle did it yesterday. So it looks like we had a good technical breakout to the upside above some overhead channel line resistance. You know, typically what we'd want to see is maybe a pullback, retest that channel line, hold it, and then start a next leg higher. We've talked about seeing this cattle market in the very big picture, similar to 2014, hopefully retracing about 62%+ of the whole break from the September highs to the December lows. And so timing wise, we would expect that to happen towards the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter of this year.
Outside markets on Friday, guys, U.S. dollar is a little bit lower. Stock market is higher. The S&P's got to be closing in on all-time highs here, up 24. Dow's up 110. Crude oil is about flat. Bonds up just a little bit. Everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday.